I'd like to talk tonight about the sanctification, and I'm going to try, I was just studying this, there's so many scriptures on sanctification and two works of grace, so I'm trying to give out the time allotted, something that would really bless us tonight. I've had this on my heart for quite a while about the Holy Spirit, and the church needs the Holy Spirit. And not just salvation only, but the full two works of grace. So we'd like to start reading in Hebrews 9 and 2. It says, "For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, which were like the angels, of which we cannot now speak particularly." And we want to go over some of these things kind of slowly and try to really comprehend what a blessing this is of the Old Testament speaking about the tabernacle. The holy place is when we get saved from our sins. We're in the holy place. And then we go on, and only those that are saved can be sanctified. And you have to have a clean vessel to come to God, and then the most holiest place we can go in there. And what does that signify? It signifies that Jesus was removing, there's a veil between there. We're going to talk about that veil. But Jesus was removing the wall between God and man. And now boldly we can enter into the holiest place that we can be in the center of holiness with God. It's so wonderful. The more I read about this, I get such a blessing about it. So when we get redeemed from sin and we turn away from sin, every one of us were born in carnality and sin. And there's some scriptures, we might not go over all of it, but over here in Psalms 51, there's a scripture that says we were born in sin and our mother conceived us in sin. And so we had a carnal nature that has to be removed and burnt, cleansed out of us. And this is what the Lord wants to do for us. And I'd like to read a couple of those scriptures too about in Psalms here. Let me get those. Psalms 51 and 5. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So when we were born with this carnal nature that had to be cleansed out of us. And even after we get saved, salvation is a wonderful work. It's not that we're saying that's a small work. That's a wonderful work to be cleansed from sin. But if you think about it, all that time up until you get saved, you gave yourself over to the enemy. You might not thought you were, but you were. You were listening to him. You were following your flesh. You had no restraints, really. Some people try to be morally good on their own. But morally good is not enough. You have to be born again. And God has two works of grace. And for us to see heaven, we must go by these two works of grace. Now, if someone gets saved and they haven't had time to get the Holy Spirit or haven't understood, I believe they'd go to heaven. But we don't want to tarry just in a justified state only. We want to go on and be sanctified and have the Holy Spirit come into our bodies and help us to live a holy life. We have emotion, we have that even when we're saved. But the Holy Spirit is to give us power to live a holy life. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. That is why we want it so much. And we want to make sure that we get everything that God wants us to have. And the other scripture is Psalms 58 and 3. It says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." And if you can just look around in this world and you can see the enemy and the devil and how he's working in people's lives, you can see sin. You can see sin all around you. And the only difference with us, the saints, and them is that we've been born again by the blood of Jesus. That's what we could not live this way without God, but we're saved and we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And then we go on to get sanctified and we give our life to God, we consecrate to God. And we willingly take, after we're saved, we go and say, Lord, I give my all to you. I want you to come in and cleanse me and cleanse my actions, cleanse this carnality out of me. Help me to have power with you. Help me to live a holy life every day until I go to heaven. Give me power to live a holy life. I cannot do this on my own. I need your spirit, Lord. I need your spirit to be kind. I need your spirit to be loving. I need your spirit to be forgiving. I need your Holy Spirit all of my life. And the gifts of the church in the 12th chapter of Corinthians is all given by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important for the church to be sanctified. So God will bestow the gifts on the church, and then they will see what God wants them to do in his body. And the church will be more blessed as people go on and get sanctified. It's so important. And as long as I'm over here, I'll read the scripture in Isaiah. I love the scripture. Isaiah 1 and 18. It says, he washes us whiter than snow. And so I thank the Lord that when we get saved, he washes us whiter than the snow. I think we have a song like that. Whiter than snow, he has made me. But 1 and 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And I thought about that scripture. I don't have it right now, but it says, I think it's in the 10th chapter of John. But it says, if those that try to come up some other way are a thief and a robber. We can't get saved by paying for it. God doesn't want our money. He doesn't want anything. He doesn't even want our works and our talents and all those things. We have nothing without God. But his grace, by grace ye are saved. It is not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. It came from God. And then he bestows works on us. He bestows gifts on us. But it still all comes through God. And you know, I just thank the Lord today for his blessings and how that he wants to sanctify us holy. And I thank God for his many blessings. I want to turn over here to, well, first of all, I want to read some more there. But it goes on here, the seventh verse. But on into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. In the holiest place, the priest would go there once a year on the Day of Atonement, and he would take with him blood from an animal and sweet incense, and would put that on, sprinkle that on the altar and put the blood on there, signifying the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. When we get saved and we get sanctified, we're cleansed by the blood. There's two works of grace. The cleansing is from the blood too. We have a scripture over here, Hebrews 10 and 19. It says very clearly, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, by the blood of Jesus. So there's a cleansing in the second work. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And I got such a blessing as I've been studying that. I mentioned something in Sunday school, and I was studying it more about the veil. And where I got that, about how large the veil was from, I believe that's where I got it from, was Josephus, which was a historian in the first century, and he said that it was 60 foot high. Well, then some other commentaries, different things, they say that it was 45, and then the lowest he says 30 feet. So I'm going to say anywhere between 30 foot and 60 foot high, even 30 foot high, this veil was. And they say at the 2 to 4 inches thick. And most of them agree that it was 30 feet long. But however, I'm trying to get in our minds that it wasn't just a flimsy little curtain that was torn in two. It was a very thick, heavy curtain. of blue and purple and scarlet, and it was intertwined with linen. It was something that man could not just rip in two. They even said in one thing, that if horses was pulled on it with men, it'd be hard to rip that curtain. But when Jesus died on the cross, from the top to the bottom, it was ripped in two. For we, as a signifying that Jesus died on the cross, not only for our salvation, but to enter into the holiest, and that we could receive the Holy Spirit to live a holy life. There's no reason that we can't be victorious. If we go to God for help, we can be victorious in this life. Not only be saved, but be sanctified holy and be victorious. I thank the Lord for that. And it says, go on, as you read there, it says, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So see, the Lord wants us to be holy, and he wants to give the gifts to the church, but we must be sanctified. We can't just work on our own. We need God's leading. We need God's Holy Spirit. We need him to lead and guide us into the right places. Or if we get out into the wrong place and God's not in it, it's not going to be blessed. But when we are in the church and we have the right gift and we're using it and God's blessing us, then we will be blessed by God. So I thank the Lord for, I want to go on and read a little bit more, but it's just so wonderful. I've been just reveling in this. I mentioned about the holy place. I wanted to mention the holiest place, what was in there. And we want to talk about the holiest place. In the holy place, when you went in there, there was the candlestick, and then there was the showbread, and there was the 12 loaves of bread. And those symbolized the 12 tribes of Israel. And every Sabbath, the priest would eat that bread and put fresh bread out. But it's a symbol. It's a symbol, the light that we get when we get saved in the light of God. We were in darkness when we weren't saved. And when God gives us light, light breaks at last. Hallelujah to God. Darkness is past. Let us shout it aloud. From the mountains and hills, let us gather the few who will stand by the right and dare to be true. There's light that comes in our soul. The Word of God is illuminating. We understand it better. It is the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the light of God. And then the bread would symbolize, the bread is how we eat the bread and how we eat the Word of God. And, you know, it said the Word was flesh and made Jesus was Word and he was made flesh and dwelt among us and died for us. He gave his body. So the Word of God, we eat the Word. We eat the Word spiritually. And I just thank the Lord for that. As I was studying back in Christmas time about Bethlehem. Bethlehem is like the bread. It was like a bread city. It was so full of wheat, and that was the name of it. It was like, that's where Jesus was chosen to be born. It was so full of harvest and great, you know, they grew a lot of bread there. Grew wheat and stuff to make bread. It was just a wonderful place of bread. It said that if you walked down the streets back then, you would smell bread where they were baking it and things. It was just, he was the bread of life. Jesus was. And so the symbols that we hear, you know, we can make it very easy to understand if we think about it. The light is the light of God. The bread is the Word of God. You know, we eat the bread and the cleansing and the sweet-smelling incense that they would have in the holy place. You know, when we pray, it's like a sweet-smelling incense before God. It's like when we pray and we God looks about, listens to our prayers, and it's a sweet-smelling incense to God. It's a sacrifice to God. He likes to hear us pray to him. It's a sweet-smelling incense. And so in the holiest place, there was the Ark of the Covenant. What was inside of that ark was a beautiful golden ark, and there was two angels over it. And that was to symbolize what was in there. It was two tables of the commandment, the Ten Commandments, the finger of God. Remember, Moses broke the first ones because when he came down from the mountain, they were making a golden calf. And Moses upset him and he threw them down and broke them. But Jesus wrote, God wrote with the finger of God, the commandments. That's how important the commandments are. And people are trying to do away with the commandments. God made those commandments. Man didn't make those commandments. God made those commandments and he expects them to be obeyed. Yes, he does. They're important. And you know, people say, no, it doesn't matter no more. It does matter. The Ten Commandments, God wrote with his finger. And the number one was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. He's number one before all idols, his commandment. But anyway, the Ten Commandments were in there. And then manna was in there, which symbolizes, again, how God fed the children of Israel with manna. It never got old. And then Aaron's bud, Aaron's rod that sprouted, budded, blossomed with almonds. What was that? God chose him. God chooses his ministers, or he chooses those. And they wanted to know who God was going to choose. And they put his rod before the mercy seat. And that night, God had it bud, not only just bud and sprout, but it produced blossoms and almonds because God chose Aaron after Moses and God wanted the people to know he chose. And so he chooses the members in the church. God does, and he does. He that's the best way it'll operate when God does that. So God is showing us all these things. I thank the Lord for salvation and the importance of it. And like I said, there's so much to cover, but I'd like to turn over to Acts because this is very important. You know, on the day of Pentecost, and we want to understand that when God's talking about the tongue there, it means languages. On the day of Pentecost, there was, if you read it, there's many, many languages that were gathered there together. And it says, and he said at the end, just before Jesus went back to heaven, when Jesus died on the cross, he was alive, showed himself alive for 40 days. 40 days to prove, I mean, not just to prove, I mean, we didn't see him, but we've heard the history of it. But we know he was alive. And he showed his disciples. Why do you think the disciples were so how can I say? They were witnesses. They went out and preached his word. They didn't, even if they gave their lives. I believe all the disciples died a martyr except for John, that was put on the Isle of Patmos. They tried to kill him with oil and all that, but God spared his life. But they gave their life and they preached the gospel and they gave their all. And why did they? Because they saw Jesus after he died. They saw him alive again. And it gave them, and they got the Holy Spirit, and they were willing to just go out and preach the gospel and do everything. And, you know, it says here, this is what Jesus said to them. It said in the third verse of the first chapter of Acts, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. It's a promise of the Father. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, the Spirit of God, we can't emphasize enough how wonderful the Holy Spirit is. How the Holy Spirit comforts us. How the Holy Spirit teaches us the scriptures. How he guides us. How he corrects us. How he tells us things, what to do in times of need. And, you know, the human race is pretty much, we have different problems, but it's all pretty much similar. I mean, what I'm trying to say is we get sick, we get well. We have issues, you know, different things. But we're all pretty similar. We're humans. We have similar trials and tests or temptations or anything. But the Holy Spirit is to comfort us, to guide us, to teach us, to bless us. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. It's wonderful. And it says here that Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. See, Jesus had to go back to the heaven for us to get the Holy Spirit. That was the plan. He had to do that. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they therefore were come together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They just still didn't understand, did they? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. And that power is holy living. Holy living every day. That's the power. You're not doing it on your own. It's God helping you. It's the Holy Spirit helping you, helping me, helping you. It said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what? And ye shall be witnesses unto me. You want me afraid anymore to talk about the Lord? You will not be ashamed of the Lord. Not very long ago, I went into this restaurant for breakfast with my girl. Was it with my girl or was it with Janine? Anyways, I think it was Janine. And there were some young men there. I believe they were young Christians. I don't know. They were standing in a little circle. But the Lord helped me. I felt inspired to talk to them about the Lord. I don't know. We had just been reveling and talking about God, reveling in the scriptures, and Janine and I. And I just felt over blessed. You know, I felt, I don't know, I just felt like God was with me. I know he's always with me, but I wanted to talk to them. I told them about, did you go to church? Are you getting ready to go to heaven? Are you ready to meet God? And they were so receptive. And they said, yes. Went to a church yesterday. I think it was on a Monday. They said, yeah, we did. And they just seemed like really good young men. But, you know, I was thinking about years ago, I wasn't so much that way about just opening up and being a witness. But, you know, the Lord wants us to be a witness. Not try to make people. We can't make people be saved. But sometimes we need to talk and compel them to come in and talk to them about the Lord. But it says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that's why the Holy Ghost was given to us. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. I want to read over here in Acts 4:12. It said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus. It's only Jesus. He is the only one that we can get saved. He's the only one that we can, he paid for the price for us to be sanctified. It's only Jesus. We cannot get to heaven any other way. We can't just start trying to be good or trying to follow some other way. We have to ask Jesus, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. You forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I want to be sanctified. I want to not just stay in the holy place, but I want to go into the most holiest place. And I want to be your child. I want to be consecrated to you. I want to do everything you want me to be. I want you to use my life until I die. I want to have it all. I want to have the Holy Spirit in my life. And you know, the Holy Spirit is one Holy Spirit that you're sanctified one time. But you yield to the Lord every day. You die daily. And you yield to the Holy Spirit. I remember Brother Elwell preaching that here when he was alive. And he said, you know, it's not that you're sanctified over and over, but you yield to that Holy Spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit every day. And you ask him to help you. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord gave us that. But Holy Spirit, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So that's how the Lord wants us to be a witness, that we've been with Jesus. that we have been saved and sanctified. There's something different about us. And I know not very long ago, I was around the Christmas season, I went into this house, this open house, and I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything about being religious or being, but you could just tell that this lady that talked to me, she could feel, she felt something from me. She said something to me, and I knew what she, when she said that to me, that she recognized that we had been with Jesus, not myself, but my daughters that were with me. And, you know, of course, I don't think it's just the dress only. I forget kind of how we dress. But they could tell that they just, I can't explain it. But there was just a difference, you know, and they felt that. They felt that we were a witness. Without even saying very much, we were a witness for the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And God help us just to live so we can help people and compel them to come in until the day we die, that we can be a witness and compel them. And it all comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives conviction. I know, you know, the Holy Spirit causes people to come to the altar and get help. The minister does their best. They do their job. They're human. And the Holy Spirit works through the ministry. But it's the Holy Spirit. Haven't you seen? Sometimes we just have singing only. And no one even preaches. And the Holy Spirit draws people. And they come to the altar. And then more comes to the altar. That's the Holy Spirit working. And we sing that song, "Come Holy Spirit, be in this place," you know. That's what we need, saints. We need the Holy Spirit more and more as the world we're living in today. I hope that God sets a fire under the ministry, a Holy Spirit fire, to preach more about the Holy Spirit, and people get more, if they're not sanctified, they'll get sanctified, and the church will be blessed. We need to pray for the church of God and pray for the ministry. And, you know, the enemy, he has power, but there, he said, greater is the power that's within you. And I tell you what, when Peter and John went to that man, and he was begging for alms and some money, they didn't have any money to give him. But they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." They had the power of the Holy Spirit working with them, and that man was healed right there. And, you know, I mean, I love the old books, and I know God blessed the saints years ago, but I tell you, the Lord is blessing the saints today just as much. It's different, and it might not be always testified about, but God is healing. He's working. He's blessing us. People are getting saved. And, you know, we say, well, there's few, but, you know, God is still working. He's still working. The church is still the same. The Holy Spirit is still the same. We just need to tap into, how we can say, but spend more time with the Lord. Read your word. Study the word. Talk to the Lord. And even though we're busy with all these other things, the cares of life, make sure that we keep contact with God. He's our life. He's our Savior. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to, you know, we don't want to live so many years for God and then drift away. We want to keep close to the Lord and get closer to the Lord. And everyone, inspire people. And we come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, have a testimony for the Lord, not the enemy. Have something. And I know we all get down, have problems. We're human. But ask the Lord to give us something to inspire each other and encourage each other and lift us up. And I don't believe that I'm living on a cloud nine or something that's we're not capable of receiving. I believe the Holy Spirit is great power. And I believe that power can help us to be more than a conqueror. In this life, that song says, more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. We can be more than conquerors. We don't have to give in to depression or discouragement. And not that these things aren't real, but God is more real. God is more power. He can rebuke that and help us to rise above it. You know, we all face things in life. But God can help us to be more than a conqueror through the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And I don't have to tell of how awful this world is. You know, I don't even want to talk about it. But I'm telling you what. God's power is greater than any evil thing in this world. That's right. And if you get full of the Holy Spirit, you can walk right among them and rebuke the evil spirits. And it says, don't rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. One time that happened to me. I was with some people, and they started talking false doctrine. And so I started rebuking it in my heart. I didn't want to say it out loud and cause trouble or offend them. So I started praying in my heart, Lord, stop them. Stop them from this false doctrine. Lord, in Jesus' name, stop them from talking about this. And you know they stopped. They stopped. And they changed the subject. And when I went to bed that night, I was rejoicing that the devils were subject to me. And the Lord said, don't rejoice about that so much. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And I said, Lord, yeah, I'm getting that a little bit wrong there. I want to rejoice. I'm glad that that was subject, but I'd rather rejoice that my name's written in heaven. Otherwise, God wouldn't help me out so much. But praise God tonight. The power of the Holy Spirit is so powerful. And, like I said, there's something about when you study the Bible and you really study and you keep reveling in it. And I know sometimes we don't have as much time, but when we do it for hours, there's something about that the Holy Spirit begins to work in you and you, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like you're reveling in it. You're just reveling in it and you just feel His presence. And you know, it says, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Trouble is, sometimes we don't draw nigh to Him. We're too busy with other stuff. We need to draw nigh to the Lord. And then these other things, you know, I like other things too. But I have, the God talks to me that I need to study the Bible. Because, you know, you just need to be study. And so, anyway, I just want to encourage us that God will come to us and that He will help us out and He will strengthen us and He will bless us and He will do all these things for us. And there's a special scripture that they're all special, but I wanted to read in Matthew 27. You know, when I was talking about the veil, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil, that curtain that was between the holy place and the most holy place, it tore from the top to the very bottom when He gave up the ghost on the cross. And that is such a wonderful thing because before I was kind of thinking of just a little curtain, you know. But this was a very, very heavy, thick, tall, wide, thick curtain that the priest, I'm just telling you what I read. I'm not saying for sure, but I read this that it took 300 priests to move this curtain. It was so heavy. But what? Three layers. It was very heavy. It wasn't just flimsy curtain. But anyway, it was something that it would be hard for man to rip, right? But God Almighty ripped from the top to the bottom when Jesus gave up the ghost and died on the cross. That ripped right in two, saying, we can now welcome home. You can go on in and talk to God. You can be with God. You can get all of God you want to get. You can get the Holy Spirit. You can be all through Jesus Christ. You can be cleansed from your carnal nature. You can go on, be as spiritual as you want to be. Just go right in that holiest place. Isn't that wonderful? So we want to read this, Matthew 27. And you know, I know many of you probably tonight have the Holy Spirit. But that's all right. Because the song that we sang, I love to tell the story. It makes you feel happy and it makes you feel glad to know what God has done for you, right? And it makes us to go out and tell others. This one to encourage you to tell others that they can have this. And Matthew 27 and 50 says here, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple, or that curtain, was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Anyway, there's a lot more we could read about, but we just want to encourage everyone tonight that the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And we just don't want to stay only in salvation. But if you don't have salvation, you want to get that for sure. But then we want to go on and get the Holy Spirit, because then we will be victorious. Then we can live a holy life. I love the Holy Spirit. I love how he talks to us, how he comforts us, how he teaches us, how he blesses us. It's a wonderful blessing. I thank the Lord for two works of grace. And we get cleansed by the blood. We enter in by the blood on both of them. I thank God for the truth. There's a lot many people tonight in this world that don't understand the truth. Right? They don't understand it. But God has helped us to understand, and I really thank God for that. I thank God so much for that, that we understand about being saved and sanctified and what it means to our hearts. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I want to live close to the Lord and have the Holy Spirit work in my life. Pray for me.